Cecil Shorts in for Seth Payne on a Thursday morning. Baker Mayfield apparently moved in with his fiance 3 days after meeting her. 3 days.
After meeting her?
I'm reading this story about Baker Mayfield on ESPN.com that Mina Kimes wrote, and the whole thing is interesting because it's about Baker Mayfield, right? Well, they go into details about how he pursued his fiance. I think they may have gotten married this month or maybe getting married, like, I don't know, this weekend for all I know.
Yeah, so a couple weekends ago.
Okay, so they are married now. Mm-hmm. Emily Wilkinson. So they were introduced, apparently, 2 years ago by a mutual friend. And at the time, she was living in L.A., and she said she was wary of dating a punk football player. So she ignored Mayfield's advances for months. He repeatedly followed and unfollowed her on Instagram, trying to attract her attention. Finally, in late December, they exchanged messages. He begged her to meet him before the Rose Bowl, his final college game. So she agreed to grab lunch. This is the playoff game that Oklahoma played against Georgia, which was an awesome semifinal a year and a half ago. So Wilkinson said, "I was assuming he'd be the typical Playboy athlete, but the Rose Bowl was the next day, so she figured they'd be talking a lot about the game." Not the case. Mayfield spent their entire first date peppering her with questions about herself, her family, her plans for the future. The next day, after Oklahoma lost, So Oklahoma lost, Mayfield texted her and said he was staying in L.A. 3 days later, he moved in with her and her brothers. 6 months later, they were engaged. How in the world did he go from going on a lunch date to moving in with her and her brothers 3 days later?
They got some game, man. He got a mouthpiece to him. He knew exactly how to approach her. I mean, he finally got the opportunity. He made the most of it. I mean, for him to have the Rose Bowl game the next day, and in her mind, okay, we're gonna talk about football, the game, all this other stuff, and the focus is on her. Oh, he won.
He won right away.
Oh, he won. that was a great move by him. Very strategic. Great job by him. That's interesting, though. 3 days later?
3 days later.
I don't think I would do that.
How did you and your wife meet?
We met in college. She was a basketball player. I was a football player. She was a freshman. She's younger than me, a year or two. And I was creeping on the freshman.
Okay.
Long story short, we ended up dating. But we never, like, lived together for a while. We didn't live together for, like, a good minute.
Okay.
So 3 days later, that's so soon, though.
Like, 3 days.
No, I don't know. Now,
who knows? Yeah, who knows, like, what that living together even means? Right. Like, that could just be, like, Mayfield want to stay in L.A. and just, like, hung out with all of them.
Exactly. Or spending the night or, yeah. You know what I mean? That's different, but that's 3 days. If we're taking for face value, yeah. That's crazy.
I want to know more details about this because I was reading, I'm like, this whole thing is fascinating, like, how he was able to, how he was able to snag her, basically, essentially. Mad Radio on a Thursday. Cecil Shorts in for Seth Payne. So long story short, 6 months later, they are engaged, and she says he's a mama's boy. Well, that's the story on Baker Mayfield. You brought up something interesting, Cecil, last night about Drew Brees.
Yes.
And Drew Brees is the guy the Texans will obviously face week one on Monday Night Football at the Superdome. You were watching film on Brees, yes. And you came away with some strong feelings about what we're going to see this year.
Yeah, well, our article brought this to my attention, and how has Father Time caught up to Drew Brees. And I'm like, is Father Time caught up to Drew Brees? I'm like, no. In my head, I'm thinking, no way. You know, Drew Brees is still awesome. Now look at the stats, and the stats steady decline. You go from 5,000 3 years ago. Last year was about 2 years ago was about 40-something hundred. And then this past year, he didn't hit the 4,000 mark at all. And I'm watching film. I think watch some film on him. And he's never been a guy that throws the ball downfield every single play, right? He doesn't have the craziest, biggest arm. But you can see the difference 3 years ago and then today. You can see the difference in the younger Drew Brees and the older Drew Brees. If you look at Michael Thomas, who his main receiver is, he had over 1,400 yards last year. But his average catch, yards per catch, was only 11 yards. If you look at the 20 guys that went over 1,000 yards last year, he's one of the bottom when it comes to average yards per catch. And I thought that was interesting. He's more of a dink and dunk guy. The second leading receiver this year was Alvin Kamara, 700-something yards. The next receiver was Benjamin Watson. After that, he's a tight end. So that's a receiver, running back, tight end, and then a receiver who had like 400 something yards, a rookie last year. So you see a decline. Now, he still is very smart. He's still very intelligent. He knows the game like the back of his hand. He's prepared, but his game is different. It's more intermediates to short passes. If you look at Michael Thomas's routes, who he does awesome routes. It's more slants. It's more unders. It's more crossing routes. It's more pick plays to get open. Whereas going down the field and running past people or running comebacks or running big posts and stuff like that. So I think it's easier. Now, I say this humbly because Drew Brees is still one of the great ones, right? But as far as comparing him to a Patrick Mahomes, where he's throwing the ball any and everywhere. He's throwing the ball 100 yards down the field. He can, you know, he's looking left, throwing it all the way back to his right side. You're not going to get that. So I think if you get to pressure on Brees, you could break him.
And this is the week one matchup. Did you think that Brees was hurt last year?
I don't think he was hurt.
He looked to me late in the season like he was playing hurt. Because what you're saying is I think 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look in the playoffs, this is something that it feels like nobody's really talking about. Drew Brees was not good in the playoffs last year. Especially,
he was not good.
Especially against the Rams. I mean, when he was throwing the ball deep, they were not afraid of him. And those footballs were basically, they weren't ducks, but they were basically just like him just launching a ball in the air without a lot of force.
I think this is honestly, Father Time is catching up to him. And then all the surgery stuff that he had with his shoulder. When you hit a certain age, it's harder to recover throughout the season. It was harder for me when I was 29 to recover, 28 to recover when I was 21, 22. That makes sense. So being his age and recovering from a season, getting hit and having the surgeries that he had and how serious his throwing shoulder is, I think it's catching up to him. And he's not the same guy. I mean, even if you look at the pass interference play, that wasn't a good ball. It wasn't a good ball at all. Like it was just a bad pass. And then, yes, it was pass interference.
Where should that pass have gone?
He was running by him. Throw it over his shoulder.
Okay, that play is so weird because I've seen it like 1,000 times, and it's just unclear to me like where the ball should have been. Because part of it is because since there was pass interference, I want to know what that play would have looked like had there been no defender at all, or the defender just missed him entirely to see like where the ball would have ended up.
Yeah,
because what you're saying might be 100% correct, and you know more about me about where that ball should have been. It was just such a like the pass interference to me makes it a little bit unclear to me. Listen, Brees to me at the end of last season clearly was not playing like himself. Maybe that was the injury. Maybe that was age. I do know when the Texans play him in week one, you're facing a 40-year-old quarterback.
Yes, I mean, absolutely.
He is a 40-year-old quarterback. Now, it's week one, so you feel like that's probably the worst time to face him because the accumulation is not going to necessarily be there.
Mm-hmm.
How does Brees compare, let's say, to another old quarterback in Tom Brady for you?
Tom Brady is still better. Tom Brady's been playing the way he's played, I mean, for 15, 20 years now. You know, he's always played the way you see Tom Brady play today is how he always played, if that makes sense. So it's harder to see a decline in him. The one thing to beat Tom Brady is you got to get pressure on his feet. You got to move that line back to his feet. If you get him nervous in the pocket, he'll throw erratic passes. He'll, you know, kind of lean his body back and just throw something up. But I still think he's better just because of how they run their offense compared to Drew Brees. And then the injury-wise, Tom has never had a shoulder issue, if that makes sense.
Like that makes sense, yeah.
He's never, like, the longest pass that Drew Brees completed this year in the air was 45 yards.
Not a big number.
Not a big number compared to, if you look at the stats, if you look at the Generation Next stats compared to everybody else, he was like 34th in the league when it came to that. The longest completion he had all year was 45 yards in the air. In the air.
What do you think about the Saints fans week one on Monday night?
Oh, they're going to be crazy. That is going to be an atmosphere that these guys for the Texans will never forget. A Monday night after the situation where it just ended with the pass interference. And to be honest, though, the Saints have been through a lot the last 2 years. The pass interference this year, the Hail Mary the year before that. Not the Hail Mary, but the Stephon Diggs play the year before that.
The Minnesota Miracle.
And then this upcoming year, this is like the year they I'm thinking the Saints fans are like, okay, we're gonna make this happen finally.
So they're going to try to take out their frustrations over the NFC title game.
Oh, yes.
Against the Texans.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. And then all eyes will be on the pass interference that game, too. I think we need to watch that. The pass interference, they're going to be key in that game because that's the first game of the year, and that's what everybody's going to be talking about, the NFC Championship game.